Well, this morning our Bibles are pre-marked to John chapter number 14, but before we get to our foundational scripture in John chapter number 14, I just want to remind us that we're continuing in our series entitled Doing the Works of Christ. Doing the Works of Christ. And what we have discovered thus far this year as relates to our theme, and we know that our theme that has been covering us the first part of this year, that's going to take us into our general church meeting. We know that our theme that has, in fact, been carrying us thus far is preparing the church for the next move of God. Preparing the church for the next move of God. And church, I just want to remind us that there is always a move of God in every dispensation. There is always a move of God in every dispensation. And God always desires to do something. God always desires to do something. And we know even now that as we go through the transition in leadership in From the Heart Church Ministries, well, why there's one dispensation that's ending and there's another dispensation that is, in fact, beginning. And we know that in the changing of that dispensation, God has a desire to do something. And God has a desire to glorify himself, and he has a desire to be a benefit to each and every one of us. We also begin to realize and understand that if we're going to be prepared for what God wants to do next in all of our lives individually and what he wants to do next in this church, it's going to require change on our part. It's going to require change on our part. And what that means for you and I is this, that God wants us to grow and he wants us to mature. God wants us to grow and God wants us to mature. God never wants us to stay in the same place. He never wants us to stay in the same place, but what he also wants us to understand, he never wants us to go back. He wants us to move forward. He wants us to always be moving forward. He wants us to always be moving forward. And church, when we're moving forward, that requires us to change. It requires us to change, and as we're moving forward, it's causing us to grow. It's causing us to grow. And I believe that all of us are here this morning and all of us in some form or fashion, we know that it's time for us to move forward. We know it's time for us to move forward. It's time for change. It's time for growth. It's time for development. Are we here together? And so when we talk about growth and development, we talk about maturity, particularly in the church, what we're talking about is spiritual growth and spiritual maturity. Spiritual growth and spiritual maturity. And we have said that if we're going to be prepared for what God wants to do next, it's going to require us to leave that which is familiar. It's going to require us to leave that which is familiar. Because what that means to us is that we cannot know the will of God depending on familiar knowledge. We cannot know the will of God depending on familiar knowledge. What that lets us know is that the next move of God, it's going to require us to not depend upon knowledge that we are already familiar with. We can't depend upon knowledge that we are already familiar with. Because, see, it's the next move of God. It's the next move of God. And the next move of God, he's moving us forward. And as he's moving us forward, he's requiring us to mature. Because God wants to use us at another level of productivity. He wants to use us at another level of productivity. See, because God has an assignment for us. And he has an assignment for each and every one of us. And he wants to use each and every one of us. But what he's saying is that, see, I want to give you a promotion. See, I want to give you a promotion. But in order to be able to receive the promotion, you can't find yourself just depending upon knowledge that you're already familiar with. Church, are we together? See, it's the same way with being promoted in school and being promoted on your job. See, a promotion on your job requires you to not just depend upon knowledge that you're familiar with, the knowledge that you had in a previous position. You see, because the new position has new knowledge that's going to be required. Are we here together, church? This is exciting stuff. And so what we want to do is to understand that maturity requires us to move beyond knowledge that we're familiar with. Maturity requires us to move beyond knowledge that we are familiar with. We also understand that we have to leave that which is comfortable. So we have to leave that which is comfortable. See, because we can grow to the point where we get comfortable in a place and in a position where we don't want to move. You know, it's like when you're at home and you had the huge screen on and you got the remote control, you in your easy chair. You know the easy chair where it conforms to your body? Oh, you're not familiar with that. But see, but once you get in that place and you get comfortable, you don't want to move. You don't want to move. Well, see, it's the same way in life. We can be in a position in life where we're just comfortable. But when we find ourselves being comfortable in a particular position in life, we can find ourselves such that we're not willing to move and we're not willing to grow. We're not willing to mature. But what God wants us to know is that, see, we can't have that attitude because the next move of God is an advancement. See, he's advancing, and because he's advancing, see, we have to leave that which is in fact comfortable. See, because comfortability, I hope I got that out right, see, is trying to keep us right where we are. Come on now. We like to stay right where we are. But see, but if we stay right where we are, guess what's not going to happen? We're not going to grow. We're not going to grow. We're not going to grow. Matter of fact, you know what happens when God comes by and he says it's time to grow because I want to use you in a more productive way and we don't move? It's going to become uncomfortable where we are. You know, it's like when we're growing up. You know, see our shoe size didn't remain the same. And for those that have parents, we all have parents, but the parents that have children, you know, when your children are growing, you're buying shoes quite often. You're buying shoes quite often. See, but the reason that you're buying shoes quite often is because your child is growing. And you can't keep your child in a size 2 shoe. See, it becomes painful. Well, see, it's the same way when God comes and says, let's move, and we don't move. It's going to become uncomfortable, and it's going to become painful. Are we together, church? That also requires us to leave that which is, in fact, secure, or at least that which we think is, in fact, secure. And so, therefore, church, we know that we have, in fact, been made for God's purpose. We know that none of us are a mistake. None of us are, in fact, a mistake. None of us are, in fact, an accident. No matter what people have told us, we know that God has made us and that he himself has made us. And we didn't make ourselves. And we are, in fact, the sheep of his pasture, meaning that God wanted us here during these times. We're here because of his pleasure. We're here because of his desire. No one is a mistake. No one is a mistake. And every one of us is the answer to someone's prayer. Every one of us is the answer to someone's prayer. We also understand who we are. We know that church is who we are. We know that this building is typically called a church, but this is a building whereby the church gathers. And we know that the church is actually the people that gather in this building. We know that when we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus Christ was raised again from the dead for our sins, and we became new creatures and our sins had in fact been forgiven, we came into the church. We came into the body of Christ. And as we have come into the body of Christ or the church is here to carry out the mandate and the mission of Jesus Christ. We're here to carry out the mandate and the mission of Jesus Christ to extend his earthly ministry. Jesus came to change people and to change our lives. Jesus came to change people and to change our lives. But see, Jesus didn't come into the earth to stay. He had a specific assignment. And when his specific assignment was finished in the earth, he went on to be in heaven to sit at the right hand of our Heavenly Father, and he began to build his church. And so he left his church in the earth to change people and to change their lives. Church, the church is here to help people. The church is how God helps people. See, because he's no longer here. He was no longer here, and he had to leave. See, because if he had stayed, then the church couldn't be formed. If he had stayed, then only he could help people, and he can only help people that he had come in physical contact with. But he said, now that's a problem. See, because it's only the people that can be in my physical presence that I would be able to help. And so therefore, I've got to get out of here, and I've got to do something different whereby everyone upon the face of the earth can, in fact, be helped because I leave. Are we together, church? And so what happens is that he left, but he left his church here to pick up his work and to carry it forward. Are we together? And so now you and I are the church, and we are to pick up the work of Jesus Christ and to now carry it forward. And our assignment and the work that we have is, in fact, to do the works of Christ. Come on now, church, is to do the works of Christ. And so what that means is that if we're here to do the works of Christ, and the works of Christ is about changing people and changing their lives where they can, in fact, truly live the life that God has created them to do, church, now we now know and understand that it's not about us. Are we here together, church? See, it's not about us. See, it's not about us. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And the thing about it is church is where we're connected to what God is doing. The church is connected. The church is where we're connected with what God is doing. See, because God has no other way to work in anyone's life other than through the church. His body. His body. See, it's like our physical body. See, our physical bodies carry out the instructions that come from our head. Are we together? Well, see, Jesus is the head of the church. And so for him to do anything in the earth, for the Father to do anything through Jesus in the earth, he has to come through Jesus, and Jesus comes through the church. There's no other way to be reached by God. There's no other way to be connected with what God is doing in the earth. There's no other way to do it. And we have to remain connected with the church. See, it's just like our feet. Our feet, for our feet to work properly and to get what our feet need, our feet have to remain attached to our body. And so just as you and I are members of the church, we have to remain attached to the church. And especially in the times in which we find ourselves living in. Especially in the times of which we find ourselves living. Are we together, church? And so therefore now we know why we're here. We understand our purpose. We know who we are as a church. And so now we need to know what we ought to be doing. And what we ought to be doing are the works of Christ. John chapter number 14, are we there? Let's begin reading in verse number 7. Now watch what Jesus says. He says, if ye had known me, he's talking to his disciples, or if you will, he's talking to the early church, if you will. And he says, if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him and you have seen him. But then here comes Philip. They have been with Jesus for 3 and 3.5 years. And Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father. And it'll satisfy us. And Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? And he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. He doeth the works. Jesus says, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. He said, I'm not speaking these words of myself. But the Father that dwelleth in me, he's doing the works. Then verse number 11, he said, now believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. He said, now if you can't believe what I say, inspect the works. inspect what I have been doing. See, you have been with me for three and a half years. But I want you to know that the things that I have been doing, see, it's really not me that's doing it. It's my Father that's dwelling in me by his Spirit. And so I have been working with him to do what you have been seeing me do. See, you have been seeing me do a number of things. People's lives have, in fact, been changed. But I want you to know I have been working with my Father, who is, in fact, dwelling in me by his Spirit. Now, if you can't believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me, he said, then look at the work. Inspect the work. And the work should cause you to believe. Because I want you to realize and understand, see that it takes something greater than what you think to do what you have been seeing done. Are we together, church? Then verse number 12, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. That's you and I. Now, Jesus is saying, oh, now, see, I'm with you for three and a half years, and you have been walking with me. You have seen me doing these things, and I want you to know it's the Father that has been dwelling in me by his Spirit. But then, guess what? I'm not going to be here much longer. And these works that you have been seeing me do, you're going to do these works. See, you're going to be doing these works. And not only that, not only are you going to do these works, but you shall do greater works than these because I go unto my Father. Church, we are the greater works folk. Come on now. We are the greater works folk. We are the greater works for it. Let's continue reading. Then in 13, Jesus says, now don't get nervous. Let not your heart trouble you. He says, I'm going to help you. And he says, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, he said, that will I do. Come on now. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. See, whatever you're going to need to carry out this assignment, if you ask for it, you'll get it. Come on now. But this is a beautiful thing. He said, that I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Then in verse number 14, he said, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, verse 15 tells us how to ask in his name or how to be in his name. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. See, that's what it means to be in the name of Jesus. See, oftentimes when we pray, we ought to end our prayer where we say, in the name of Jesus. And that's not what the Lord is saying. See, because we think that if we say, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I come, blah, 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 I'm asking for this, houses, car, land, oh my, and then I know you're going to give it to me, and you're looking to bless me, I know you want to bless me, amen, in Jesus' name. But see, and so we think that's going to cause the prayer to be answered, because we said, in Jesus' name. No, that's not what it means. See, we're trying to use his name. But see, what the Lord is saying is that when you come in my name, that what that means is that you're doing what I'm asking you to do, and you're saying what I told you to say, and you're living your life the way I want you to live. What he's saying is that is because, see, when you're in my name, you're obeying me. See, you're obeying me. And so when you obey me, what ultimately begins to happen is that what you desire is actually my desire. You desire that my desire be done. Are we together? See, so that's what it means to come in the name of Jesus. See, it's not because I just say in Jesus' name. See, in Jesus' name and voila, things open up. No, that's not what's happening. The Lord is saying that you're going to have to be in my name when you pray. And what that means is that, see, and so if you're outside of the church, if you're outside of the body, guess what? We're not in the name. And so he even tells us that he only hears the cry of the righteous. He only hears the cry of the righteous. He only hears those that belong to him. And he only hears those that belong to him that are right with him. parents, you know, you, when you raise your children, you know when your children are disobedient and they won't do anything you say, you're not paying a whole lot of attention to them. And they want some things, listen, No. Didn't clean the room. Didn't take the trash out. And daddy, can we go get ice cream? That's not happening. See, because if I do that, you become the parent and I become the child. And so, church, we have to be careful that we're not trying to use God. God is for us. And God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask, think, hope for, or even imagine if we're right with him. If we're right with him. Are we yet together? Verse 16, he says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you what? Another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. And he's called the Spirit of Truth. And guess what? The world cannot receive him. Those that are unsaved cannot receive him, because the unsaved seeth him not. Neither can they know him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be where? Shall be in you. And he says, I will not leave you comfortless. He said, I will not leave you without directions or instructions. He says, I'm going to come to you. And yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. Now at that day ye shall know that I'm in my Father, and ye in me, and I am in you. Verse number 21, and he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. He it is that loveth me. He that keepeth my commandment is right with me. Are we together? And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will what? Manifest myself to him. He says, I'm going to manifest myself to him. What Jesus is saying is, listen, I want you to carry out this work, and I want you to do greater works. But I've sent you a helper. I'm going to be in you by my Spirit. And he's going to help you. See, because you can't do this out of your own human effort and out of your own human strength and out of your own intellect. See, just as I couldn't do it, you can't do it. You're going to need help. Come on, church. You're going to need help. And you and I know from the depths of our hearts, every time we drive down the street, we see someone sitting on the side of the street, and they're struggling with this life, it hurts our heart. It hurts our heart. There are members in our families that we know they're struggling in life, and it hurts our heart. But what the Lord wants us to know, he says, I want to use you in a way to bring change to people's lives. I want to use you to bring change. I want them to be changed so that they might live the life that I created and I sent my son to die for, that they might have. But I'm going to give you help. I'm going to give you help to do it. He says, I'm going to dwell in you by my Spirit. And I'm dwelling in you by my Spirit, just as my Father was in me doing the work through me. Guess what? I'm going to do the work through you. And the Lord wants us to know that we're going to co-labor in this thing. We're going to co-labor in this thing. Jesus saying that work that you see me do, no, it's my Father by his Spirit that's dwelling in me. He's doing the work. I'm just working with him. And the Lord wants us to know, church, is this. See, we're going to do greater works, but the thing about it is that, see, it's not going to be us. It's going to be the Lord working through us. We just have to work with him. But we have to do our part of the work for him to be able to do his part of the work. And he's not going to do the work if we don't do our part. See, oftentimes we're waiting on God. But God says, I'm waiting on you. See, because I need a body to work through. See, I need a body to work through. I need someone in the earth that I can work through. But see, if the person that's on earth doesn't work with me, it hinders the work. Are we here together, church? And so there's a part that God does and there's a part that we must do. And we have to do our part. And if we start working together, come on now. If God be for us, who can be against us? See, that's why the scripture says that we're more than conquerors through Christ. That's why Jesus lets us know, he said, without me, you can't do anything. But with me, that which appears to be impossible is made possible. That which appears to be impossible shall in fact be made possible. And so oftentimes we're looking at things that are in front of us and right before us. We're looking at the situations and the circumstances of our lives. And in many respects, they look impossible. But see, they are impossible by ourselves. They are impossible by ourselves. Church, it's impossible. We cannot change ourselves. We can change how we dress. We can change where we live. We can change our hairstyles. But we're still the same. We're still the same. But the Lord says that you can be changed. You can be changed, totally changed, beginning on the inside. And none of us can change ourselves on the inside. That's why when we shoot at trying to change our behavior, we know that there's some things that we ought not to be doing and all those types of things, and we're struggling to change those things, and it hasn't been all that successful for us. See, we change for a minute. You know, it's like a diet. We change our eating habits for a minute because we're trying to change our external behavior. But our external behavior is driven by something that we can't see that dwells on the inside. And so if we change on the inside, it'll change our external behavior. God is good. God is good. See, the world is trying to get us to change just on the outside. See, that's why you see all the commercials about the diet stuff, the working out stuff, and all those types of things. You all know you'd be doing the role and all that, you know, all the you're gonna be doing that the rest of your life. Something has to happen on the inside. See, it's like people trying to get off of cigarettes and alcohol and those types of things, and that's why they can do it for a short period of time, but sometimes they go back, and when they go back, it's worse than when they were there the last time. There has to be a change on the inside. Has to be a change on the inside. Are we here together? And none of us can change ourselves on the inside. Are we here together, church? And so, therefore, we're talking about doing the works of Christ. And here's the thing about it. The works that we ought to do should cause people that don't know God to know him and to see him through us so that they can know that God is real. We're living in the midst of times now, particularly in this generation, young generation. They need to see God. And I'm not talking about what they see God physically. They need to see evidence of God. They're looking for truth. They're searching for truth. For many of them, they want to know Jesus. And more importantly than that, Jesus wants to know them in a real and personal way. And so they're searching for some real evidence. They're searching for some real evidence. And church, we ought to be that real evidence. Just as Jesus told his disciples, listen, my Father has been with you. I've been walking with you. You can check out the works. The greater works that we ought to do is to cause people that are unsaved, looking for God, wanting to know God, to be able to see God through us and to know that God is real. And when they're able to see God through us and to know that God is real, God is able to draw them to himself through us. God is able to draw them to himself through us. See, that's why it's not so important that we see, that's why it's really not about our getting our will and getting our way. See, that's why it's not so important that we be famous. We want God to be famous. We want Jesus to be famous. See, because what's needed is that they need Jesus. They need Jesus. But what has been happening is the church has been pushing the preacher forward. And the preacher gets famous. But in the midst of the preacher getting famous, they forget all about Jesus. They forget all about Jesus. See, the work has to be done by Jesus. And as we're working with Jesus, the work can in fact be done. Are we together, church? Come on now. And so what the Lord is saying, I want to use you. He says, see, they're going to see you physically, but me by my spirit dwelling in you. And as I'm dwelling in you, guess what's going to be happening? We're going to be working together. And as I'm working in you, I'm working in you to cause them to see me in you. And what they're going to see is that they're going to see my nature operating in you. You're going to be looking at their face. You're going to be looking at their arms and the legs and all those types of things. And that's what you're going to see with your natural eye. But how they behave, how they carry themselves, and what is able to be accomplished as a result of what they do is going to be all me. Come on now. It's going to be all me. And so now what happens now, if they say what I tell them to say, and if they do what I tell them to do, if they live the way that I'm going to tell them to live, what's going to begin to happen is that they're going to begin to see a nature that's going to be associated with me. And what's going to begin to happen as a result of what they do is going to be all me. See, because you're going to be able to observe their life. And as you observe their life, see, they're going to be able to leave the life that you're struggling with. See, they're struggling with a life and they can't get away from that life that they're struggling with. But they're going to be able to see this person be able to overcome it and to defeat it. And so you're going to see them going from situation to situation to situation, circumstance to circumstance, and you're going to see some things happening in their life that you're going to begin to realize and understand, how did they do that? How could they do that? How could they live that type of life considering where they came from? See, I know them. See, I know that they were born on the other side of the tracks. I know it because I live next door to them. See, and I know their life, and I know their family, and I know their circumstances, but yet and still, I see something happening in their life. Now, what is it that's been happening in their life that caused the change that I now see? And the Lord is saying, it's not them, it's me in them, and it's the me that's in them, it's the me that you need. Church, are we together? God wants to use us. He wants to change us so he can use us to change others. Church, that's why it's so dangerous for us to sit down and not do anything. We've got the answer in us and we sit down on it. And there are people that are crying out for the evidence. Just show me the evidence. But here's the thing about it. The Lord gave his church the assignment, but he told them that you're going to need power to carry it out. And church, when we receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit, when the Spirit of God comes to dwell in us, it brings change. And it's the change that's necessary to change us on the inside. It's the power to change our hearts, because that's the control center. The control center is our heart. It's where we hide our thoughts. It's where we hide our desires. It's where we hide those things that we don't want people to see. And it's what's in our hearts that's driving us. And it's our heart that must be changed. Man's heart needed to be changed. Our hearts must be changed if any of this is going to work. See, God is more concerned with our hearts than anything else. See, we can fix up the outside all we want, but God looks at our hearts. See, that's why we can't get so caught up in on the external things. See, God wants our heart to be beautiful. And then he also then he's going to make it possible for the outside to be beautiful. And so now the outside lines up with what's happening on the inside. See, sometimes you can meet people and they look great on the outside, but something begins to happen to let you know that there's something wrong on the inside. But on the outside, they looked great until the inside gave them away. But see, God wants us to be great inside and great outside. Amen. You know, it's like buying a brand new car and no engine. That baby looked fine sitting in a showroom on a showroom floor. But it can't go anywhere because there's no engine. Or if it goes somewhere, you take it for a test drive, you get halfway down the block, and that baby stop on you. But it looked fine on the outside. God says, no, I'm concerned about your heart. See, because you can't live life with a bad heart, physically nor spiritually. Physically nor spiritually. Are we here together, church? And so, therefore, we understand that when we receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit, we receive the power. We receive power, and it's the power to change our hearts. And so if we're going to do the works of Christ, church, it requires a changed heart. It requires a changed heart. And it's the Spirit of God that changes our hearts, changes us on the inside. And we know that our hearts haven't been changed when we know that he's on the inside in our hearts. He makes himself known. He makes himself known. We also know that our hearts have been changed when we have a desire to be right with God. When there's a hunger and thirst for righteousness, we know that our hearts have been changed. See, because there was a time when our hearts wanted all types of other stuff, but now that our hearts have been changed, we want different things. Are we together? See, there was a time where our hearts wanted a certain type of lifestyle. But see, when our hearts were changed, we had a desire for a righteous lifestyle. A holy lifestyle. See, before our hearts wanted the stuff that was causing damage to us. But the Lord said, I'm going to fix that. See, you can't fix it. All I need you to do is to believe that I sent Jesus Christ for you. All I need you to do is to believe and to ask him to come into your heart and to save you, to change you, and to turn your life around. His Spirit come to dwell in your heart. And with it will come some power to change your heart. It'll change your desires. So you'll go from the old stuff to the good and healthy stuff. Now, I'm not talking about okra and that type of, you know, I don't want you to get confused with that because, you know, I still have a challenge with okra. No, he's talking about what we desire. We can go from desiring a lifestyle that is hurting us, causing harm, to a lifestyle that will cause us to be all that God created us to be. So we can become like the person that we might see. Are we together? He changes our hearts. See, nothing's going to happen until the heart has been changed. Nothing's going to happen until the heart has, in fact, been changed. And a heart that desires to be right with God is a heart that desires to agree with God's heart. Then point number three, let's deal with it this morning. We know that our heart has been changed. We're in point number three. We obey from our hearts. When we obey the will of God, when we obey the word of God from our hearts, then we know that our hearts have been changed. We know that our hearts have been changed. And when we can obey the word of God and the will of God from our hearts without full understanding, meaning I don't need an explanation. When I can obey without complaining, then I know my heart has been changed. Because, church, it is hard to obey the word and the will of God. It's difficult. We can't do it out of our own human effort and strength. That's why he gave us a helper that dwells on the inside. See, it's difficult to do, but it's good for us. See, it's good. It's difficult for us to do, but it's good for us. And he says, you can't do it by yourself. I'm going to give you a helper. And the helper is going to dwell on the inside of you to help you to do that which is, in fact, right, to bring about that changed life so it can be manifested, so people can, in fact, be able to see it. And, church, here's the process. See, it's obedience to the word and will of God. It puts us in a right position with God. And it leads us into being in agreement with God. Obedience puts us in a right position with God, which leads to our being in agreement with God. And if I don't obey, I'm not right with God, and I'm not in agreement with God, and I'm not going to get anything from God. Because that's how parents work. At least that's how my parents work. No obedience, you not right. And we sure enough not in agreement. And there's sure enough not any benefits. Whatever you're talking about, you're going to have to back it up. Do. You all remember this? Do. Then you'll get right. Then you come in agreement, then we can all go get that ice cream with smiles on our face. Are we together, church? See, we understand this with our natural parents. It's the same way that God works. Same way that God works. Because obeying God is for our benefit. When we obey God, he's loving us. Come on. When we obey God, he is loving us. And that's how he loves us. And that's how we begin to truly experience his love, is by obeying. He's loving us. He's loving us. And so what that means for us, and when we obey from our hearts, obedience, righteousness, and agreement, what that says is that our hearts must be in harmony with God. Our hearts must be in harmony with God. And when our hearts are in harmony with God, you know what begins to happen, church? We begin to have an encounter with God that we can't have any other way. Let me say that again. When we obey, which leads us to being right with God, which leads us to being in agreement with God, it causes us to have an encounter with God that we cannot have any other way. And so what that lets us know is that when I stop obeying God, we lose our sensitivity to his voice. we begin to lose the excitement and the zeal with God. The word of God becomes dull, boring. It's because we stopped obeying. Therefore, we're not right. We're not in agreement. And what begins to happen, we stop having those experiences with God. Every time we go into the Bible to study the Word of God, we should be able to come out of there having had an experience with God. Because He's talking to us. We should have an experience with God. Because the Bible contains His directions and His instructions, and He directs us, and we can begin to read what He will have us to do, what He will have us to say, and we can have an experience with God where they're just not words on a page, and the Bible is just not a book. But if I stop obeying, my heart gets hardened to God and the things of God. And then I begin to fall away from God. And when I begin to fall away from God, guess what begins to happen? The nature and the character begins to change. The nature and the character begins to change. And what begins to happen? People no longer see the God that's in me. Because my heart is hardened toward Him, even though He's in me. That's why there's no peace. See, that's why we can have no peace. We can be in a situation where we don't have peace, and we haven't had peace for a long time, and we think it's the people that are external that we're fighting with, or they're fighting with us, is the problem. And the Lord says, no, they're not the problem. I'm not saying they're not a problem, but they're not the problem that's still in your peace. What's still in your peace is what's happening between me and you. Wow. See, because they can't give you peace. I give you peace. Are we together, church? That's why the Lord wants us to obey Him, because He knows. See, that's why I say when we obey Him, He's trying to get us to love Him. And when we obey Him, He's loving us because He's going to reward us. Are we together? He's going to reward us when we obey. But if I stop obeying, see, I'm going to cause myself to become sick. See, no man has control over my peace. No man has control over my joy. See, that's why we can't have peace, even though those around us are losing their minds and they're just off the chain, off the hook, off the heezy. I'm trying to get there. But see, the Lord didn't leave our peace in the hands of another person. Because no man is perfect. And so if we're trying to find peace and joy and all those types of things from another person, listen, we're going to be mad. We're going to be sure enough mad because they're not going to meet our expectations. And God didn't, listen, God said, your expectation shouldn't be of them anyhow. Your expectation should be of me. Because I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll never fail you. See, they don't have control over your life. Let me be. Let me do that. Are we here together, church? See, because you can get to the point where you can stop your forward progress based on what other people are doing. And what begins to happen is that you begin to get stuck. And you begin to lose ground. The Lord said, no, this is an inside thing. See, the driver's on the inside of this thing. He's the driver of our lives. He says, I'll lead, guide, and direct you. He said, let me do this thing. Let me do this thing. See, I know what needs to be said. I know where you need to go, and I know what you need to do. Search for us. We're just experimenting. You and I know when we're going to call up some folks, or we're about to text message some folks, about Facebook some folks, and there's some things that we want to say. And we got some stuff to say. And we say that stuff, and the next thing you know, there's a fire. It's a fight that's going on. Are we here together? Yeah, this is good stuff. And so here it is. Our relationship with the Lord is a heart-to-heart relationship. And our hearts have to be in harmony with his heart. And our hearts are in harmony with him when we want what he wants for us. And we're doing what he wants us to do. The Lord says, I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me. Worry is caused by not being in harmony with God. And there's something that's happening in the heart, which is a true source of worry, being discouraged and disappointed. But here's the thing, church. When we obey and work with him, when we obey and work with him, what begins to happen, the works of Christ begin to take place. But he can't do the works through us until we do our part. We have to do our part. And here's the thing, church, is that when we do our part, when we obey from the heart, from our hearts, letter A, it keeps us in harmony with God. It keeps us in harmony with God. Let's go to Galatians chapter number 5. It keeps us in harmony with God. We'll close it here. It keeps us in harmony with God. And as it's keeping us in harmony with God, there's some things that begin to transpire. We're able to have an encounter with God, a real encounter with God, that we can't have in any other way. And let it be, when we obey from our heart, he's able to manifest himself to us and through us. He's able to manifest himself to us and through us. But he can't do it if our hearts are not right. The first thing he wants to do is manifest himself to us. And as he's manifesting himself to us, you know what begins to happen? People begin to see a change in us. And the change that they're actually seeing is a Christ in us, that's dwelling in us. Then let us see, it produces fruit. It produces fruit. Fruit is the evidence. Fruit is the evidence. You want to know how an apple tree is alive? There should be apples on the branch. See, it's the same way when people look at us. They should be able to see something that's different in us. And that's the evidence that there's something on the inside that they can't see with their natural eye. But what they see, they're saying, you know, what I see in you is different. You know, there was a member of the church that said, told me one Tuesday night Bible, said, I want what's in you. That's the way she phrased it. I want what's in you. You're free. You're free. I want what's in you. I said, you can have it. What you see in me is Christ in me. It's not me. See, me apart from Christ, not all that tasty. And not all that tasty at all. See, me apart from Christ, you'll keep walking past me. It's like cereal without sugar or milk. See, what causes people to even take notice of true believers is that because of Christ is in them. And they see something different. They see something different. And it comes as a result of change. Not because we changed ourselves, it's because we recognized what was being offered to us and we signed up. I signed up. I heard the good news. I signed up. Somebody came and gave me the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that my life can, in fact, be changed. I can be changed and live a whole entirely different life, and my sins have, in fact, been forgiven. Sign me up. Sign me up. Then things begin to change from that point. Let's go to Galatians 5. Are we there? Let's begin reading verse number 22. Verse number 17, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, the Holy Spirit. What that means is that our old nature is lusting against the spirit of Christ that dwells on the inside of us. And the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other. See, there's a fight going on. That's why we need power, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you are led by the Spirit of Christ that dwells in you, guess what? You're not under the law. Then he goes on to talk about that. Now, these are the works of the old nature: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry. You know what idolatry is? Things we have placed our security in, our natural. We believe that money is our natural security. We believe that our jobs and our careers are our natural security, and you can come to the point where you start idolizing those things. You know witchcraft? You know what witchcraft is? You're trying to change a person to become who you want them to be. Hatred, variance, emulations, anger, strife, seditions, heresies. There's a whole bunch of stuff here. You see, a whole bunch of things going on here. And these are the things that the Lord wants to make us free from. You know, the Lord said, I didn't come to condemn anybody. He said, you were born in trouble. I came to save you. See, that's why the church is a judgment-free zone. See, we're here to get people out, not to condemn them. We're saying there's another way out. Look at what the Lord is able to do in us. Not because we're somebody, it's because of what he's been doing. And so we were in the same situation that you were in. But somebody, we saw something different in them. They told us the good news about it, and we signed up. And what happened to them happened to us. And so now we're saying the same thing to you. See, it can happen to you. All you have to do is sign up. The church is a no judgment zone. Listen, we are who we are by the grace of God. It's not in and of ourselves. Now, how are we going to turn around and judge somebody? We were probably in a worse condition. Then we're going to turn around and turn up our nose and say, nah, 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 nah. You shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be doing this. Nah, nah, nah. Well, help them. Help them. Help them. Are we here together, church? But then it goes on to verse number 22. But this is the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. It's the fruit. See, it's what happens when we obey that the Holy Spirit begins to produce this fruit in us. And that's love. That's why we can love without conditions. We love without conditions. That's why we can love everybody. It's not some people, it's everybody. Not only that, we can have what? We can have joy. Listen, joy is produced as a result of our obeying God. We can't manufacture joy. When we obey God, the Spirit of Christ that dwells in us produces the joy. And what happens is, as he produces the joy on the inside of us, it just bubbles up and bubbles out. Then we can have peace. Then we can have peace. We can have there's an internal peace that we have where there's no conflict. And there's no conflict between us. There's no conflict between God. And we're able to experience his peace. So it doesn't matter what any people out there do. It doesn't upset our peace. See, because we make right decisions when we have peace. See, when we don't have peace, we make wrong decisions. See, when we can't rest, when we are worried at night, when we're worried about what's going to happen tomorrow and when they're going to come and how they're going to come, we can find ourselves becoming anxious and we make bad choices and bad decisions. But the Lord says, peace, be still. And he says, rest in me. See, your peace is in today. The only thing that we have control over is today. We have no control over tomorrow. And the Lord said, if you get right with me and do what I would have you do today, tomorrow's going to be okay. It'll be okay. Rest. Go ahead and go to sleep tonight. Because worry is not going to change what happens tomorrow. See, it has already been predetermined that the sun is going to rise in the east and it's going to set in the west. You can't change that. He says, rest in today. He says, now take this peace that I have for you. Now let's do X, Y, and Z. And if you do X, Y, and Z, go on and go to sleep. And then we have long suffering. That's just being patient. Gentleness. Oh man, goodness, faith, meekness. People think meekness is being weak. No, meekness is being able to keep your power under control. See, listen, I got some power and I can destroy you, but I'm not going to do it. See, that's meekness. See, Jesus had power, but he didn't seek to destroy anyone. He said, now listen, I can destroy you if I want. But see, that's not me. That's not my nature. Because I didn't come to condemn and I didn't come to destroy you. Are we together, church? Then there's temper, there's self-control. But that's the beauty of it. That's the evidence of the fruit. That's the evidence of the fruit, church. This thing is so good. This thing is so good. Each and every one of us are here this morning, this afternoon, because God wanted us here. And God wants to work with us to advance his purpose and his plan for others. He's a God of help. He's a God of help. He's a God of help. And the church is how we get connected to what God is doing as it relates to his help. And he uses the church. He uses each and every member in the church so that he might be able to change people and to change their lives. And church, that's important for us to know and to understand. We're not an accident. We're not a mistake. Just think about this, that you can change a person's life for eternity. We can change their life for eternity. God can use us. The Lord wants to use us. He uses the weak things of this world to confound the wise. And oftentimes we begin to think that, you know, I'm nobody. No, you're here. You're somebody. That I have no value. No, you're here. You're here because you have value to God. And he wanted you here during these times. He didn't send you 100 years ago or 100 years from now. He sent you so that you would see these times. He knew you when you were going to be born. He chose the day and the hour because he wanted you here at this time. Because somebody's been praying. Somebody's been praying for change. Somebody's been praying for change, and God wants to use you as the answer to let them know that change is possible and to introduce them to the one who can bring about that change. You're not a mistake. You're more than significant. You're more than significant. There's no one superior and there's no one inferior. In the eyes of God, it's Jesus and the rest of us. The only difference that might be is our relationship with the Lord. And that's the bottom line. And all of us can have the relationship with the Lord that he would have us to have. Amen. Church, we're on our way to doing the works of Christ. We're on our way to doing the works of Christ. But it begins with a changed heart. And where there's a changed heart, there'll be a changed life. Every head bowed, and every eye closed. Every head bowed and every eye closed. For those that have been listening via the CD and or the internet, we want you to know that change is in fact impossible. It is in fact possible. The Lord wants to bring about change. And that change begins on the inside. And just in brief moments we have been able to share in this message, you begin to realize and understand that for you, you're ready for change. And we want you to know that you have a church that's praying for you right now at this moment to invite Jesus Christ to come into your heart, to change you, and to turn your life around. The Lord is faithful. If you just call upon his name and ask him to come into your heart and to save you, to change you, we know that he'll do exactly that. And in a moment, and in a twinkling of an eye, he shall in fact come. We love you. We're praying for you. Please join us once again.